very good morning to everyone. Let me wake up the PowerPoint. Okay, it's working. Yeah. Today we shall continue with Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 20, verse 45 to 21, verse 4. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, as many Bible translations translated scribe as mere teachers of the law, which I feel may not fully describe them. Let's read the verses together. Luke chapter 20, verse 45. Then, in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribe who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seat in the synagogue, and the best places at feasts." Verse 45, "Who devours widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, this will receive greater condemnation." 21, verse 1, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites." This is a Greek lepta, a very small copper coin. I think am I still here? Okay. In verse 3, "So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" Before we go... Okay. Yeah, this might need to wake up a little. Still warming up. Before we go into the teachings, you'll be good to know more about the scribes besides being teachers of the religious law. Scribes were Jewish leaders who drew up legal documents, copied the Old Testament scripture, devoted themselves to the study of the religious law, and determined its application in daily life. They also studied the scripture with respect to doctrinal and historical matters. They flourished from the time of exile until the destruction of the Jewish state in AD 70. In the New Testament period, the scribes were learned teachers and authoritative leaders. They were advisors to the chief priests, teachers of the religious law, leaders of the community, men in reputation for wisdom and honor. But many were against Jesus and his teaching. In verse 45 to 47, Jesus warned his disciple against the scribe. So what was the warning about? Scribe loved to go around in long robes. The long flowing robes that the scribe wore was part of a fancy and expensive wardrobe. They also wore full-length shawl with tassel attached to the four corners. Made of wool of linen, these shawls, known as talit, distinguished scribes as men of wealth and eminence and of a significant social status. There's nothing wrong with the clothing, but the intent to impress others was what Jesus condemned. The scribe also loved greetings in the marketplaces. In extra-biblical material recording, rabbis and other religious authorities received special greetings in the marketplace. Example, everyone was expected to rise, thus making an impression. It was intended to be a greeting of respect. In the Talmud, the Jewish religious law stated that such greetings were required for the teachers of the law. The scribe received such greetings not with humility, but pride. That's what Jesus was criticizing. And they loved the best seats in the synagogue. These were probably the benches at the front of the synagogue, which were considered the seat of honor or the seat of Moses, which represent authority. These first seats, as they were called in Greek, were reserved for teachers and people of rank, the best position from which to address the congregation. Well, in today's church context, it would probably be this front row seats that, you know, that's nearest to the cross. I can tell that all of you are very humble people. No one rushed for the front seats, and many prefer to sit as far back as possible so that the speaker will not ask you questions or catch you nodding in agreement. And the scribe, they also desired the first seats at dinner. In later Judaism record, these seats were probably at the center of a U-shaped table nearest to the host. From the picture, you can see that the host family will be seated on the left, the highest status guest at the center table, while the lower status guest at the right. It's an honor to sit next to the host, and the scribe loved to have those seats. Talking about sitting arrangement, similar practices are observed in mainland China. If you are invited to a formal banquet, especially in rural cities, do observe these practices. The table will have a seat with a napkin folded taller than the rest, or rolled up like a candlestick sticking out from a glass. This seat is reserved for the host, followed by the seniority of the guests. Those more senior in position will be seated next to the host. If you attend such business banquet, let the host take the seat and wait for the host to assign your seating. This is a show of respect, courtesy, and humility. As taught in Proverbs 25, verse 7, it's better to wait for an invitation to the head table than to be sent away in public disgrace. At the time, widows represented the most vulnerable in society, and scribes are to serve and help them. Although not clearly stated in this verse, but from other records, scribes could have done the following. Scribes were supposed to help manage the widow's property, but took advantage of these word widows. They charged a healthy fee for themselves, which was not permissible. The scribe also took advantage of the widow's hospitality when they were invited into their home. Like glutton, they freeloaded upon the widows. The scribe also took houses as pledges of debts, knowing that the widow will not have any means of repayment. They also took fee for legal advice, which they are not supposed to, in accordance to the law. It was also forbidden for them to accept money for teaching, as they are to make their knowledge available without charge. Functioning as lawyers, they were to act as guardians appointed by husband wills to care for the widow estate, but they cheated widows out of their estate. So they also make hypocritical long prayers appearing to be piety, but did not attend to the needs of the vulnerable, instead took advantage of them. They took large sum of money as a reward for the prolonged prayer which they professed to make on the widow's behalf. Scribes associated their identity and values by the length of their robes, the flattering greetings in public, and the seats of honor at worship and banquet. They forgot that they are anointed by God to serve the people, to point the people to the path of God, and their identity is in God, not what they wear, where they sit, or how people perceive them. Their greed also led them to take advantage of the needy. So what about our identity? Do we measure our identity by how many A's we scored in school, how popular we are with our friend, what kind of job we do, or how much money we earn, what type of house we live in, what car we drive? Remember, our identity is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how people look at you, but how Christ looks at us. He sees us as his beloved children, made in his perfect image. Going back to the scribe, they were prideful. Their hearts departed from God, and they failed to walk the talk of helping those poor and needy. Jesus reminded his disciple not to imitate the behavior of the scribe. He wanted his disciple to be different, to be a servant leader like himself. Let us point people to Jesus and deflect all attention away from ourselves. Let's examine our heart. If Jesus is Lord, there is no place for pride. As in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. Whatever resources we have been given, be it knowledge, skills, wealth, use them to bless others and not to fatten ourselves. In Luke 21, verse 1-4, Jesus was watching the people putting their contribution into the treasury, and he noticed the widows whom contributed the 2 copper coins or lepta. Contribution were placed into the 13 trumpet-shaped receptacle, which were placed in the court of women, the only part of the temple which the women can access. This is the first enclosure of the temple in which Jewish women and children were allowed to worship. The trumpet-shaped receptacle with the narrow neck prevented people from dipping their hands in to help themselves with the offering. Each receptacle bore an inscription of what the offering will be used for. For example, one for the bird's offering, one for wood, one for frankincense, one for the gold for the mercy seat, and so on, with the remaining 6 receptacle meant for free will offering. This is very similar to our church offering, whereby we have the general offering, the mission offering, as well as the charity offering. The monies in the free will offering receptacles were used to support the operation of the temple, those serving in the temple like the priests and Levites, and to meet the needs of the needy, the widow included. In those days, a widow had very few means of earning money and normally found life very difficult. As you can see, the teaching and practice of caring for those in need have always been a part of the church. I was surprised that our early pastor was involved in prison ministry. Are you aware that Jubilee Church used to run an old folks' home at Bukit Merah View? That's about 40 years ago. 10 years ago, Jubilee Church started Jubilee Community Service with the intent to bless the needy at Tiong Bahru and Tanjong Pagar. I believe many of you were part of our community blessings activities in the earlier years. You can see yourself in the photo. From Jesus' ministry, blessing the needy is not just about giving money, food, and material. It includes psychological, social, cognitive, health, and spiritual needs. I will not elaborate further on this, as this topics will be another sermon. In Jubilee Church Members Handbook, I'm not sure how many have seen this handbook, it is clearly stated that one of the church functions is to serve others and care for the community. And church is to teach this to all members. I say again, church is to teach this ministry of serving and caring for the community to all members. I'm not sure if we still give out this members' handbook to the newly baptized members. For the next part of my sharing, I'm sharing from the bottom of my heart with humility, not pointing fingers at anyone. I remembered very clearly when I first approached Tiong Bahru CC Management Committee to introduce Jubilee Church and to explore how we can partner them in serving the community. The chairperson actually asked me, is Jubilee Church a new establishment in this area, or did we just relocate to Outram? I was dumbfounded, and I felt ashamed. Sorry, I thought after many practice, I wouldn't be emotional. We have been in Tanjong Pagar and Tiong Bahru areas for more than 130 years. We were very well known, both pre- and post-war. What happened after we moved out to this little hill? In the last 10 years of serving at Jubilee Community Service, I've been asked by people, how many converts do we get through our community work? My jaw dropped. With humility, I've read the Bible from cover to cover, but I have not found any teaching that says that when we help the needy, in exchange, the person has to receive Christ. I give you a bag of rice today, so make sure next week you come to church to receive Christ. What I know is what Jesus taught in Matthew 25. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Blessing the community is to lift Jesus high and give him all the glory and honor, not setting a KPI of how many people came to know Christ, as people will be attracted to Jesus. From our early pastors' evangelism work and prison ministry, people were attracted to Christ, as we can see the number of people whom came to church increased. Our pastor did not stop there. He started night classes to teach English to the Mandarin-speaking community, and this resulted in the setting up of Eastern School, and the story of blessings the community went on and on. Just last month, we had a collaboration with Tiong Bahru CC again in blessing the community. The former chairperson remembered very clearly that Jubilee Church started this yearly community blessing with them, and this is our 10th year. But sad to say, from a major sponsor of the event, we are now playing a small part. Remember, God does not need us to bless the community if we do not want to. He will send His people according to His timing. When Jubilee Community Service decided to slow down and take a back seat, Hope Church from the east came to Tiong Bahru to bless the community, followed by St. Matthew Church at Eng Hoon Street, and they have now set up an elder care center at Havelock just a year and a half ago. And recently, I was told that AOG Church at Tanglin is coming to Tiong Bahru. Where's the connection, Tanglin and Tiong Bahru, right? And they are planning a 5-year community blessings program. So what are we, the Jubilean, the Titouser of Tiong Bahru, doing? This year marks the 100-year anniversary of our church kindergarten, Chinese kindergarten. We have lined up a series of celebration and Thanksgiving event. Chinese kindergarten, being the first kindergarten in Singapore, started in 1921 with the intent to bless the children with preschool education. It has not been easy for many Christian kindergartens in the past years, especially so after MOE started preschool education in primary school and giving students priority in primary school entry. Many Christian kindergartens had to close for good as they could not sustain. And Chinese kindergarten is also affected with our numbers of students sliding. However, the board of Chinese kindergarten is very clear that we will fight this good fight until God says stop. We want to provide children with a Christ-centered education and instill the right value in our children. Chinese kindergarten is committed in developing our children to be keen learners, joyful givers, and confident team players. 好学乐师乐群. Not only do we invest in cognitive development, we want our children to be joyful givers and learn to care for the needy in the community. You can see from the slide on our community work. This is pre-COVID, all right? So before anyone report to, you know, to the ministry. Yeah. In line with Chinese kindergarten 100-year anniversary, we went to bless the hawkers at Tiong Bahru Market just before Chinese New Year. Last week, we blessed the elderly at Sarah Senior Activities Center under Presbyterian Community Service. We will be having one more community blessing coming up in April or June. Recently, I heard that one of the preschool set up prayer and offering table during 7 months, and the children began to imitate the ritual during play. Do you want your child to come home one day and imitate the Pai Pai ritual, or do you rather that they come home singing praises? From those of you with preschool children, I would strongly encourage you to send your children to a Christian preschool. If you are living not too far from Jubilee Church, send them to Chinese kindergarten. You will see that we are very holistic in our teachings, spiritually, physically, and academic. We are not perfect, but I believe your child will excel in primary school, just like many of our students. Just for your information, one of the president's scholars some years back was a Chinese kindergarten student. Going back to the widow whom contributed two laptops are worth about 2 out of 130 of a denarius, and a denarius is a day's wage at that time. Say you work at McDonald's at $5 an hour and you get $40 a day, two laptops will be about 62 cents. A very small amount of money that you can't get much in Singapore. The poor widow gave everything she had to God, trusting not in money to provide for her, but in God. I believe she exhibited the faith in God's provision that Jesus calls us to have. The widow is not looking for credit, but how she can humbly serve God. Jesus commended the widow for her generosity, especially in the light of how little she had. Others gave out of excess while she gave her all. Jesus shows the disciple that it is not the amount, but the nature of the heart that matters. Little gift can be taken for granted and not even noticed. Yet sometimes, in fact, they are the biggest gifts of all. In Jubilee history, we had many whom gave like the widow. When we were building our church building in the late 1960s, we had a sister who ate 2 meals a day and saved the money of 1 meal so that she can contribute to church. Nowadays, when we eat 2 meals a day, we are actually on a diet to lose weight, right? And in the early 1990s, when we were building this auditorium and the classrooms above us, we have a young boy who contributed all his pocket money in this plastic bottle. The church kept this bottle in the safe till today to remind ourselves of how Jubilee members played a part in building this church, and many had contributed like the widow. Giving our abundance is appreciated, but it costs little. Giving out of life like the widow means giving all to honor God. What we give to God deserves priority, not our leftover, for God loves a cheerful giver. Remember, Jesus does not need our money. He is the owner of all that we have. He wants our heart. We can start teaching our children how to manage their finances. How I teach my youngest sons who miss his primary school is, out of the weekly pocket money, $1, which is 10%, will go to Jesus, $1 for saving, and 50 cents for charity, and the remainder will be divided by 5 for his spending. If you like to follow the Jewish practice, you can add one saving item for future investment. That's why you find a lot of Jewish, you know, filthy rich in the world, right? Yeah. So, as you walk out from this auditorium today, let's remember what Jesus is teaching us. The first thing, our identity is in Christ Jesus. He sees us as his beloved children made in his perfect image. Two, our heart matters. We need to guard our hearts, for it determines the course of our life, lest we become proud and depart from the path of God like the scribes. Three, care to the needy is a main focus in Christianity. Those we litter to give can contribute by ministering to the needy and care for them in other ways. As I mentioned earlier, psychological, cognitive, social, health, spiritual. Last but not least, be a cheerful giver and depend on God's providence, like what the widow did. May Jesus' words continue to be the lamb at your feet and the light of your path. Amen. God bless you.